Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that the truth is that you care for us. Lord, I thank you this morning that your word says that we can cast all of our cares upon you for one simple reason, because you care for us. We choose to believe the truth about you this morning. Lord, we recognize there's many other statements being made about you, Lord God, but we, even from the church, but Father, we choose to believe the truth about you, that you are good and that you care for people, Father. And so, Lord, we just pray as we come to your word right now, I pray, God, that that word of truth would penetrate between our soul and our spirit. Lord, that that two-edged sword of your word would just go deep into our hearts today, Lord, and plant a seed, Lord, it will begin to bear fruit by which you will be glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Glory to God. This is part 9, would you believe, of this series. How you see will determine how you hear. How you, remember, it's a long title, so hang on to your seat. Okay. How you see will determine how you hear. How you hear will determine what you say. And what you say will determine what you see. Amen. We've looked at this word perspective, and ever since we began this series, I've just heard this word come up over and over and over again, even in news reports and in different places. People use this word a lot, perspective. Here's one. There's many definitions for this word, but here's the definition, the working definition that we've been using. A mental view or outlook, a way of regarding situations, facts, etc. The proper or accurate point of view, or the ability to see it. People will say things like, well, the way I see it. But who knows, the way I see it and the way you see it can be very different. And the perspective that we have of something that is affecting our lives can really have a, the way that we see it can bring about a very different outcome from that situation in our lives. Amen. You might go to the doctor tomorrow, or the two of us might be in the same queue at the Western Isles Hospital waiting to see a consultant, a cancer specialist or something, and we're sitting there in the queue, and you go in first, and the doctor tells you that things are looking really bad. He gives you a very bad report. He says, well, you know, I can give you a maximum of 6 months to live. Now, you can receive that. If you have the wrong perspective, I believe the wrong perspective, you can receive that as the will of God for your life. I'm talking about two believers, two Christians. You can receive that as the will of God for your life. Then I can go to the same specialist. I can be given a very similar report. And I can receive his report as an attack of the enemy to be resisted in my life. So you're embracing the will of God and I'm resisting the will of the enemy. See how the different perspective, see how very different it can be. And if you just receive as the will of God, he gave you 6 months, you'd probably be dead in 3. But if he gives me 6 months, I'll still be here 60 years later. Amen. Glory to God. It's all a matter of perspective. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, in the New Living Translation, it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God." He's the only one who knows how to look after. He made it. Makes sense, you know what I mean? If you really want your car to get a good service, take it back to a dealer that specializes in your type of vehicle. Yeah. I'm actually being very hypocritical there. Because if you have lots of money, take it to a dealer. Anyway, glory to God. "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." Someone's just going to hell. "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." Let God transform you. Let God transform you into a new person. By doing what? By changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and acceptable or pleasing and perfect. Remember, your thoughts become your words. So it all starts in Proverbs. It says, as a man thinks, that's who he is. You're a product of your thought life. Your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. Your habits become your character. And ultimately, your character will determine your destiny. And where does it start? It all starts way back there with how you think. Isaiah 55, Let's turn there a minute. Isaiah 55. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. It says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." We're being invited to forsake the thoughts of the unrighteous man. Remember, we're speaking to those who are no longer living as the men of dust. We've been born from above. From where?
Above.
From above. That's what Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born from above. We're no longer living as the man of dust. We're no longer living like the first Adam. We're living the life of the second Adam, the heavenly man. Who knows, when you're seated in the heavenlies, everything changes. At 40,000 feet, looking out a plane window, Ben Nevis doesn't look like much. Standing down there in Fort William, looking up through, if you can see it through the mist and the rain and the midges, then it's quite a formidable sight. But at 40,000 feet, even at 14,000 feet, in one of our little budgies that flies across to down to Glasgow there, sometimes they take that route, it doesn't look like much. Amen. It changes your perspective of everything. But the see, do you know who you are? If you're born again today, if you're born from above, if you're not, this is your opportunity to grab it with both hands.
Amen.
I don't know whether you want God or not, he wants you. Let me make that clear. Whether you know whether you want him or not, he definitely wants you. Whether you care about him or not, he definitely cares about you. And once you are born from above, you're no longer that sinner man anymore. You're the righteous. So you've got to let the sinner man's thoughts go and begin to embrace the thoughts of the righteous. Let the wicked and the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. This is what God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." That's why he's inviting us to receive his thoughts, to begin to think the way he thinks. Because what will happen? It will change our ways, and our ways will become his ways. Where does it start? When our thoughts, when his thoughts become our thoughts, and his ways will become our ways. "For as the rain comes down," verse 10, "and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void or empty, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper." Now, and the next three words are actually in italics, which usually signifies that they were added in by the translators to try and help you understand it. Sometimes they help you understand it, sometimes they help you misunderstand it. And you need to be able to discern the difference. "And it shall prosper," and then it says, "in the thing," in italics. But I think it'd be better to remove these three words and just say, "it shall prosper for which I sent it." God always sends his word to prosper. God's word is designed to prosper. How shall they hear, it says in Romans 10, without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? The preacher is sent with the word that are the articulation of our Father's thoughts. And they're always designed to prosper us. To prosper us, to advance us, to take us from a place of failure to a place of success. To take us from a place of sickness to a place of healing. Take us from a place of oppression to a place of freedom. From under to over. Come on. That's what they're always designed to do. Maybe it's not all the preacher's words you heard did that for you, but well, maybe God didn't send them. He says, "How shall they preach unless they are sent?" God has high thoughts. Do you know this morning that God thinks very highly of you? Is that your perspective on things? Or do you think, "Oh no, I don't know how he puts up with me"? Do you know God thinks highly of you? You know he has high thoughts towards you? Not many of you seem to appreciate that very much, but try to read your faces, but it's pretty hard. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 29, just to remind ourselves, we're not just going to verse 11, we'll read a few verses around it. Jeremiah 29. God invites us to have our thoughts renewed, our thoughts changed, so that we begin to think the way he thinks. So that our thoughts line up with his thoughts. So then, the only reason our ways struggle to line up with his ways is because our thoughts don't line up with his thoughts. I was thinking about it the other day. I mean, evangelical Christianity has only been on this island for just under 200 years. But in that short time, relatively short time, how entrenched have we become? How strong has that tradition become in a relatively short space of time? Where was it? Jeremiah 29. And let's read from... let's try verse 10. In fact, in verse 9 he actually speaks about those who come and prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them. Even though they're speaking on behalf of God, he said, I never sent them. How do you know if God sent them or not? Well, listen on. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you. In fact, see, these guys are saying, just stay where you are. Just hang out in the place of captivity. It'll be a place of peace for you. Blah, 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 blah. Just stay in the place of bondage. Stay in that place, and God will turn it into something nice for you. He said, I didn't send them. He said, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you. My what word? My good word toward you, and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future. In some translations it says to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. That's the thoughts he thinks towards us, to restore us, to bring us back to that place where his good and acceptable and perfect will can be accomplished in our lives once again. Amen. 2 Chronicles 20:20 says, believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Then it says something else. You can sit 10 believers down in the line and bring them a particular scenario and say, what do you think about that? What do you believe about that? And you might get 10 different opinions. Is that the way it should be? How you see will determine how you hear. How you hear will determine what you say, and what you say will determine what you see as a result of what you say. It says, believe his prophets. The second part of that verse, 2 Chronicles 20:20. This is perfect vision, folks. Do you want to have perfect vision? Do you want to see things as clearly as possible? Then this is how you do it. How you see. Believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, the ones that he sends, bringing the articulation of his thoughts that are always good towards you, and you shall prosper. Hallelujah. Like, often do you hear it being attacked? Oh, that prosperity gospel. There ain't no other gospel. Come on. It's not attacked from outside, it's attacked from inside. That's the most subtle form of attack you can get. That's the most devastatingly dangerous form of attack. It wasn't one of the Pharisees that dubbed Jesus in. It wasn't one of the religious leaders that led the troops to arrest Jesus. It was one of his own. One of the 12. One of those who lived life with him, 24/7, 365. There's no other gospel but the prosperity gospel. Do some people abuse the gospel? Yeah, they abuse everything else as well. Is that a reason? Come on. Is that a reason for throwing it all out? No, of course not. That's ridiculous. There's plenty of people abusing the most hardline gospel as well. You know what I'm saying? The most God hates you gospel you can find, and people abuse that too. Well, that's a real abuse of the gospel. You shouldn't even be able to attach gospel to it. If it's not good news, it's not gospel. Because that's what the gospel means, good news. He said, my good word. Oh, that was a bad word today. Well, what's the gospel then? Oh, hallelujah. Is that too simple for you? Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. Romans 8, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will one day, hopefully down the road, if I'm good enough, make me free from the law of sin and death. No, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. This whole thing about perspective and how you see, we need to always examine the tense that God is speaking to us in. Because that will affect the way that we see things incredibly. What's your perspective this morning? Am I under or am I over? Am I still under things or am I over? Am I beneath or am I above? Am I the tail or am I the head? Or am I a sinner or am I righteous? Am I sick or am I healed? Am I oppressed or am I delivered? Am I poor or am I prosperous? Am I weak or am I strong? Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the sick say, I am healed. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let those who are under say, I am over. Those who are beneath say, I am above. Those who are oppressed say, I am delivered. See, how you see, how you hear, what you say. I believe that seeking, remember Jeremiah 29 says, then you will seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. If we can't accept the way God really thinks about us, then we'll never seek him to the level that we should be seeking him. Seeking is an extension, if you like, of seeing. Remember Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. We looked at this last week. Come on. Remember, I said this last time. Let's just remind ourselves. If our Heavenly Father is not, and I've heard this over all through my years, I've been programmed with this kind of religious nonsense. If our Heavenly Father is not interested in our happiness. How many times have you heard, God doesn't want you happy. God's not really interested in your happiness. If he's not interested in our happiness or our success or our health or our prosperity and all of these other good things, then why am I so intensely interested in those things for my children? I mean, look at a father with a son. Look, come on. What's that about? What's that? Come on. So if our Heavenly Father is not interested in these things, why are we so intensely interested in these things for our children? Now, people would even accuse you, saying, oh, you're just trying to make a God after your own image. I can't make God. He's the one who made me like him. I'm not trying to make God like me. He's the one who made me like him. Jesus said, how much more, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him, seek him, keep banging on that door till it opens? All the way through this book, all the way through the Word of God, it's very clear that all God has ever desired to do for people is bless them. You can't read it. You can read it other ways if you have the wrong perspective, but I'll tell you, that's the truth. In fact, well, let's remind ourselves a little bit. Hallelujah. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Let's go back to the beginning again. Very quickly. This word just keeps growing, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not even probably going to get this morning what I expected to start this morning. But anyway, there you go. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, who said? God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So, see, God created us to have dominion. He created us to be over. Say over. That's his will. That's his good and acceptable and perfect will, is that we be over. Over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created man, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now you need to understand something. See, the devil knew that if he could infiltrate the relate. Remember back in the genealogy of Jesus in Luke, it says that Adam is the son of God. That means God says father. God was his father, his creator. And the devil knew that if he could infiltrate the relationship between Adam and his father, then he would be able to dominate him by usurping his place of dominion. You need to understand something. The devil has never had dominion. And the reason he's never had dominion is because he's never been in submission to God. Not since he fell. So therefore, he can never have dominion. He usurped Adam's place of dominion, but he rules not because he has dominion, but he rules by domination. Domination is that counterfeit for dominion. And it's everywhere. It's in the world. Sadly, it's even in the church. But we're here to turn that around and put that right. And the devil knew that he could do that if he could infiltrate that relationship. If he could break down the... See, relationships are based upon trust. If he could just get in there and break down that trust, break down that... And how did he do it? He got a hold of Eve. He says, look, did God really say? You know, he begins to plant doubts in her mind about God's goodness. That God didn't have the best intentions towards her. Maybe God was holding something back from them. God wasn't holding something back from them. He was holding them back from something. Don't ever let the enemy penetrate your mind and get in there and begin to infiltrate your thoughts. You see, what happened, she had to line up her thoughts with his thoughts. The devil's thoughts. She had to remove her thoughts out of alignment with God's thoughts and realign her thoughts with the devil's thoughts. And it affected how she saw. And she began to look at that and say, well, it does look good enough to eat. And it could make me wise. Well, maybe I should just have a bite. The devil never had dominion. And he still doesn't have dominion. He always rules through domination. That's why whenever or wherever you find domination, you know that the devil's in charge. I'm not going to focus on that today. We could go off on that and we'd be here for another hour. But anyway, glory to God. So what happens? God blesses man, but man blows it. And things start going downhill pretty fast, in fact, until you get to Genesis chapter 6. And what does it say? It says in verse 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Of his what? Of his thoughts. And God, well, let's go on a little bit. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. God says, I've got to wipe this mess out. But he hasn't quit. He finds, it says in verse 8 of chapter 6, it says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 11, it explains to us that Noah was a man who could hear God. In the midst of all of the other people who couldn't hear God, who had rejected God's thoughts, who were living by their own thoughts, that they'd aligned with the devil's thoughts, there's one man who can still hear from God. It says, Noah, having heard from God, in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, Noah, having heard from God, moved with godly fear. I believe godly fear is synonymous with faith. It says, by faith, Noah, having heard from God, because faith comes by hearing what God says, the good word that God brings, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. See, we're saved by grace through faith. Grace is there for everybody. But you can only access grace by faith. I know there's a lot of religion out there that tells you something different, but that's what the Bible says. That's what the Word of God says. That's what the book says. People that tell you that's not right generally say that grace is only for a few people. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't think of any of my kids any different from the other. Hallelujah. It's not, I don't have blessings just for one of my kids or for two of my kids. I've got four children, glory to God, and I want to see every one of them blessed. I want to see every one of them succeed. I want to see every one of them go as far as they can go. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to see every one of them enjoying the fullness of life that Jesus came, that they may have and enjoy. Hallelujah. Amen. And every single person was created in God's image. Every single person, as I said last week, there's many metaphors in the Word of God in regards to the church, but there's only one reality. That's why some men don't feel comfortable. Some of you women, you don't mind being part of the bride of Christ, do you? You're always still looking for your big day, you know, your white dress. But for some men, you know, that might not sit so comfortably. You know, everybody talks about, oh, the bride of Christ, the bride of Christ. Well, some guys might not feel so cozy with that. Especially the first time they hear it. In fact, if that's all they ever hear, they might just take off and never come back. That's a metaphor. Some of you natural men, welcome back to church. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's a metaphor. There's only one reality. The reality is, it's family. God is our Father, and we are His children. The rest are metaphors. You start thinking of the church as an army, well, you can get into all kinds of trouble with that one. It's a metaphor. There's many others. We're not going to talk about that again this morning. Anyway. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. There's a righteousness that comes one way, and that's by faith. Righteousness that is by faith, by taking God at His word, by simply believing what He says and acting on it. By believing that God always has the best in mind for you. Hallelujah. Amen. When God asks you to do something, it's always for your good. Always. And then in chapter 9, verse 1, it says, this is after the flood subsides, the flood comes, wipes out everybody else, Noah and his family are safe. Why? Because they came up over the flood. Everybody else perished under, because they didn't. Their thoughts were all thoughts of being under. They were under the domination of the wicked one. Whereas Noah took the thoughts of God and made them his thoughts and did everything that God said and applied everything that God said exactly as God said it. And so he wasn't under the flood with everybody else. He and his family rose up over the flood. As the flood rose, he rose above. Say above. Above. See, God's will is always that you be above and never under. Never beneath. Always over and never under. And the flood subsides, and it says, and Noah and his family come out of the ark, and it says in chapter 9, verse 1, so God blessed, say blessed. God blessed Noah. What's always his heart? It's always to bless. God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. I give you dominion over them. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs, but you shall not eat flesh, and so on and so on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It says in verse 7, for in the image of God He made man. Why can God not let go of people? Because they're made in His image, because they're His children. They're His children. He's daddy, we're His children. He can't let go because of that. For that one simple reason, He'll never let go of you. He'll never give up hope on you. He'll never quit on you because He's your Father and you're His child. No other reason. Never mind getting your white dress on. I help any men this morning. Nah, I just don't match well enough. You're not willing. You're still chewing on it, and you're thinking, what happens after that? Very quickly, man turns to his own agenda again. Let me just remind you of something. Dominion is God's or our Father's vision for us. But you see, selfish ambition is the enemy of vision. And that always desires domination. You see, we're all God's favorites. Do you know that out there, even in the body of Christ, even in the church right now, and the body's just another metaphor. Out there in the church right now, there are people who would like to think that they were God's favourites. Maybe we are here this morning and we're thinking, we're God's favourites. And you're right, And you're wrong. You're right, you are God's favourite. But you're wrong if you think you're God's only favourite. Because we're all His favourites. Hallelujah. Amen. And if one church seems to be way ahead of the other in some places or their revelation that they're willing to walk in or receive from God and walk in, well, that might be the way it is, but the people who are lagging way behind are still no less God's favourites. His plan for them has never changed. Because they're still His children. They're still part of His family. But you see, when selfish ambition begins to displace vision in us, then we reject dominion and we fall back into domination again. I wasn't going to say this morning, but let's say it anyway. There's our vision up there. The people of the world under the lordship of Jesus Christ, saved, healed, and delivered. Not the people of the world under us. See, the vision that God downloaded into our spirit says the people of the world under the lordship of Jesus Christ, saved, healed, and delivered. Not the people of the world under New Wine Church, under the lordship of Jesus Christ, saved, healed, and delivered. So that's when selfish ambition begins to come in. Why is it when you meet other leaders or pastors or even maybe you when you go to visit other churches, the first question they ask you is, how many people you got? Why is that the most important thing? Now, I know people are important to God, and I'm no end of just having a few people and saying, oh, that's four and no more, and hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Because God's interested in people. He's interested in numbers, big numbers. Hallelujah. But why, because there's a bit of, there's still that, oh, I'm getting way ahead of myself. Anyway, hallelujah. I'll tell myself in a minute. Dominion is God's vision for us. The only place He never gave us dominion is over one another. When you begin to feel that someone has taken dominion over you, in dominion it's domination. When someone claims to have dominion over you, they're not talking dominion anymore. They're not talking the will of God anymore. They're talking domination, which is the will from the other side. Genesis 11. And verse 4. Things start going downhill again. And it says, the people said, come and let us build ourselves a city. Build who? Build ourselves a city. And a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down. Everything that man tries to achieve by his own effort will still always be failed, will always still fall short. Why do we want to try and attain things by our own effort when He's already lifted us up and sat us in a place that we can't get any higher? He's already sat us down in the highest place. Why are we so busy striving to try and get somewhere when we're already there? And the more you try, the further away you get. Have you ever noticed that? The more holy you try to become, the less holy you are, you feel. You ever notice that? Come on, you get your self-improvement plan. You know, we're going to do it this time. Glory to God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. You know, 3 days down the road, it all falls apart. And you feel condemned. And you've never felt worse. You never had to go into that. You never even had to enter into that maze. Genesis chapter 12. God comes and knocks that tower right down the ground. Hallelujah. Scatters the people. Their greatest fear came upon them. You know, some people, they hear something and it brings forth fear in them. Other people hear the same thing and it causes faith to rise in them. It's all a matter of perspective again. If you think you have to look after yourself, if you think you're the one that's going to have to do everything for yourself, and you'll miss God every time. He's got it covered. Amen. He just says, ask, seek, and knock. You know, there's some crazy parents who think that they have a 16-year or 18-year commitment to their children. Maybe their kids haven't reached 18 yet or something, and they haven't discovered that commitment to your children never ends. One fella said to me, he said, when I reached 16, my father gave me packed my suitcase and said, there you go, son. I've done my bit. Well, you want a father at all. He lost the plot. He just totally missed it. Amen. He didn't have a Scooby-Doo what it meant to be a father. Amen. Amen. Your commitment to your children never ends. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 12. God hasn't quit. Men may have been quitting on him, but he hasn't quit on them. It says, the Lord said to Abraham, he shows up in a city where they're all worshipping the moon. But it says in Chronicles, he says, his eye continually scans the whole earth, looking to find those to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are after him, whose hearts are seeking him, whose hearts are going out beyond what they can see. Knowing that they're created in the image of God, knowing that there's a God out there that they're incomplete without a relationship with him, that they've lost their way somewhere, that their father is missing out of their lives. The Lord said to Abraham, he finds Abraham, man, down there in Ur of the Chaldees, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God hasn't quit. He hasn't quit. His plan's still the same in Numbers chapter 6. Hallelujah. Numbers chapter 6. Several generations down the road, God's people have been in captivity. They've been brought out of that place of captivity supernaturally by the God whose heart is only to bless his people. And it says in verse 22 of Numbers chapter 6, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, or look upon you with favor, that could be translated. See, there's that favor word. That's the root of favorite, you know. He looks on you with favor because you're his favorite. And give you peace, shalom, completeness, wholeness. That word means health and welfare and safety. It means all of the things that you think towards your children. This is the way God thinks towards you. Bless them with shalom, with peace, completeness, wholeness, health, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony. It's the absence of agitation or discord. He says, this is how you will bless my children, my people. Hallelujah. My family. Glory to God. Amen. Deuteronomy 28. Are we getting the message? God's heart has only ever been to bless. Only ever been to bless. Nothing else. Nothing else in his heart. It's always been his desire. He's not quite on it yet. Deuteronomy 28. Verse 1, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above. Where will he set you? High above. Where will he set you? High above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come, all these what? All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before... Who will? The Lord will cause your enemies... Why are you fighting your own battles? The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. You know, like Ali said this morning when he was receiving the offering, the tithes and the offerings, he said, come on, we owe people nothing but to love them. Jesus said, love your enemies. If that doesn't do them damage, nothing will. Come on. Hallelujah. You ever seen your enemies' reaction to your love for them? It's quite scary sometimes, glory to God. But love will win through in the end. There's nothing that you're... Stop taking them to court and fighting with them and suing them and everything else. Bless God. Just keep loving them. Hallelujah. And love will overcome and love never fails. Love your enemies. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's exciting. Hallelujah. Love them and bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who persecute you and despitefully use you. Korabasha. Come on. Sometimes you'll have to get into the Korabasha, I know, because sometimes you won't be able to say it. You'll be like, thank God for tongues. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command a blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, just as He has sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways, then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, and the increase of your livestock, and the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, if you just take what He says seriously, just believe the Lord and you shall be established. Believe His prophets and you shall prosper. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. Are we getting the message? What's God's heart towards us? To bless us. So I have a question for you, another question for you this morning. Why is it that in the new covenant, see, we've just been coming through the old covenant, haven't we? And we've seen God's heart to bless His people, to bless those who are made in His image. Why is it that in the new covenant, a covenant that this word tells us is established upon better, say better, not, come on, better, better, better promises. How is it that religion and tradition has been allowed to relegate the children of God to a place where it no longer appears that our Heavenly Father wants to bless His children in the same way and with the same things? Come on, what did Jesus say? How much more? He didn't say how much less. He said how much more. How has this happened? I'll tell you, it's a serious business, and it can take years sometimes to get breakthrough all of that stuff, all of that crud. That's why Jesus said, he who hears what I say, he's like a wise man who digs down deep through all of the garbage that's been laid, layer after layer after layer after layer. I mean, come on. I mean, our car, we just got it back out of the garage there, 750 quid later, with the smoke problem cured, not. The first day I got it, we're off to the mainland, get the queue at the ferry, and I have to keep switching it off every time we move because I'm gassing everybody behind me. Clouds of smoke. Thank God they didn't smoke, got the MOT and all that good stuff, passed all the emissions tests. But you know what the problem is? You see, it's got a catalytic converter, as most cars have now. And all cars now, they're built after the 1990s or something. But in the catalytic converters, there's layer after layer after layer after layer of, I think it's titanium or something that's in there. And what's happened is oil is built up in there, and it's got thick, and it's just in there. And I don't know how long it's going to take to clear. And probably the only cure is actually to get and to replace the catalytic converter. But because of that, everywhere we go, I pull into points we hear whenever we pull up for a meeting, go, and I have to switch the engine off straight away. And because clouds of smoke, and it's kind of acrid kind of smoke as well, and it flies all the way down the Point Street area. You know, and there was a couple of guys standing outside the crit and a week past Friday there, man. I waited in the car for 5 minutes so they wouldn't see who it was, you know. They're out there having a smoke, and they've got more smoke than they were intending to have, I tell you. they disappeared in this cloud of smoke, and I thought, oh, man. Where did they go? Because there's all of these layers, all that stuff is built up in layer after layer after layer after layer. And it's the same, you know, Jesus said you've got to dig down deep through all that layers, otherwise there's going to be some smoke falling everywhere you go. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2. Let's see where the answer is. The answer is always in the Word, isn't it? It's always in the Word. Colossians chapter 2. We're getting very far, very fast here this morning, Mary. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Beware. Hey, come on. If you're visiting someone and there's a big sign on the gate that says, beware of the dog, you just open the gate and walk in. I know you folks that know you have dominion do that. But I learned that a long time ago. I won't go into that story again, maybe. Hallelujah. But glory to God. Most people, they recognize that sign is there for a purpose. To warn you that there's a big doggy in there, he might not be so happy to see you as you might be to see him. The Word of God says, beware lest anyone, say anyone. Do you know who that includes? Anyone. That could be anyone. That could be your closest friend. That could be your closest confidant. It could be anybody. It could be the person you trust most in the world. Beware lest anyone. That could be your mother, your father, your granny, your great-granny. Your pastor, your minister, it could be anybody, it could be your teacher, it could be anybody. Lest anyone cheat you, and that word means plunder you or take you captive, through philosophy and empty deceit. See, there's one thing about God's word, it never returns empty. Amen? But all that other mess, you can expect empty from that every time. An empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by changing the way you think. No longer thinking and living according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. So listen to this. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you, turn that person and say, that's you. And me. That's us, come on. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power or all rule and authority. Do you see yourself this morning as complete or incomplete? What do you say? Are you still going about telling everybody, I'm just a work in progress? Well, it'll be a long time coming. I'm not saying you're not. But you've got to start seeing yourself the way the Father sees you. You've got to start speaking about yourself the way the Word of God speaks about you. Do you see yourself this morning as complete? See, how you see will ultimately determine what you seek. It will determine the place of your limitation. Say limitation. It will determine the closed door that you refuse to knock until it opens. That you accept as a closed door. People say that, well, God closed the door. Well, Jesus said, knock on it till it opens. Hello? You'll accept that's the place of your limitation. You know, one guy wrote a song, if God closes the door, look for a window. Remember Luke 10:19, Jesus said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing. What does that include? Everything. Nothing shall by any means. What is he saying? That means there's nothing out there whatsoever can hurt you. Where has nothing stopped for you in your life? Well, I'll tell you where. You can tell where it stopped. What's hurting you this morning? Because whatever's hurting you this morning is where you allowed nothing to stop. It's where you placed a limitation on nothing. It's what's hurting you right now. Something you've struggled to believe concerning the Lord your God. Something you've struggled to believe when the prophetic word has come to you to tell you God's heart towards you and to bring you into the fullness of everything that he has for you, to reveal his love for you and everything that his love includes and the blessings and the benefits of his love in your life. His concern and his care for you. Whatever's hurting you this morning is the place where nothing stopped for you. Jesus said, I give you authority over all, to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. What was he saying? He's saying, I restore your dominion. Yes. I restore your dominion. You're not under the only place. Come on. See, if we fail to take dominion, we will fall back into domination. And limitation is always connected to domination. Limitation is always connected to domination. It's the place where you stop off. It's the place where you fall short of God's glory. It's the place where you stop believing and expecting. See, in Psalm 27, it says that my heart would have failed me if I had stopped believing to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. See, it's the place where you stopped expecting to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Psalm 27, verse 3 says that. Jesus came to show us how to have dominion where all the limits are off. Say, all the limits are off. I want to tell you this morning, the only lid that you need to recognize is the throne of God. The devil thought he could get past that lid. You know, look what happened to him. Don't make the same mistake. The only lid that you need to recognize in your life is the throne of God. That's where we submit. That's where we bow down. That's where we worship. That's where we acknowledge that which is greater than us. Come on. Come on. That's the only lid. That's why I said you'll find domination in the word denomination for a reason. And we're not here to bash denominations. New wine can become another denomination just as easily and just as quickly. We're not trying to remove ourselves from anywhere. If we speak about anything that sounds like it's critical, we're criticizing ourselves along with everybody else. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe he's trying to tell me something. Hallelujah. See, it was because Jesus had dominion that he was in a continual collision course with the religious authorities, with all of the religious protocols. He just kept messing with them. Because all of these places of limitation that had been set in place, he just blew them away. He failed to recognize them. Because he wasn't under, he was over. He exposed the places of their limitation and he revealed the domination that was controlling people. Do you understand that? That domination by which people were being controlled, the religious authorities that were controlling people, and it wasn't men, it's what's working behind the men. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Our battle's not with men. It's what's working behind men. I think it was yesterday or the day before, you know, when Jesus said, the Son of Man is Lord over the Sabbath. Over and over and over again, he broke that Sabbath protocol and they came after him with a vengeance. It was a man-made protocol. But Jesus said, you know, he said something. He didn't say the Son of God is Lord over the Sabbath. He said the Son of Man is Lord over the Sabbath. Why did he say that? Because the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. He was saying that man has dominion over the Sabbath. Paul said that. He said you can either observe it or choose not to observe it. Come on. I'll tell you, all of the control, the intimidation, the domination, the manipulation that exists in this island in regard to that needs to be blown out of the water. Yes, don't come under it. Oh, well, I wouldn't hang out my washing on a Sunday in case I offend anybody. Hang it out, whether it needs hang out or not. Hallelujah. I went for petrol this morning. You know why? Because I didn't want to walk home. Are we still there? Are we under or are we over? Jesus wasn't afraid to offend that system that was dominating people, that was controlling people. He didn't come to offend people. He came to overturn that mess. Hallelujah. That no Sunday ferry business stopped the gospel for a long time, but no more. Plenty of times we've been able to go away on a Saturday and come back on a Sunday and be back on the island for Monday, away to preach somewhere. Hallelujah. Come on. Glory to God. Not to go skiing to preach. Not to climb some mountain somewhere in the Cairngorms to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. If you're into skiing and climbing, good for you, but that's what why do people want to climb mountains when you just get in a plane? Come on! Anyway, I'm not going to mess with you. Hallelujah. Well, I did a wee bit, but I apologize for messing with you that little bit. Okay. I think we probably need to stop here, actually. There's so much more even in this morning that needed to be said, but glory to God. Hallelujah. See, domination, I'll just say this and I'll close. Domination is about staying ahead of the pack. You know, every business out there wants to dominate the market. Do you know that's in the church? The church, people even try and apply the business model to the church. And it's all about marketing. You know, Jesus didn't need to have a publicity team. Come on, everywhere he went, he got a crowd. Why? Because he blessed people.
Yes,
amen. Do you want to attract people? Bless people. Domination's about staying ahead of the pack. It's about being the top dog. Having the biggest church. See, our role is not any of these things. Our purpose for being here is none of these things. Our only role in this place right now is to bless people. It's to help them when we have the opportunity. When they give us the opportunity. I'm not talking about forcing ourselves upon people. Just when we have the opportunity to bless people. To bring them the good news of the kingdom. But never to coerce them and never to make their choices for them. Not to tell them what they can or what they can't do on the Sabbath. That's not our function. That's not our role. That's not our place. We just came down from our place of dominion and got back into domination. Jesus said, you have freely received. Now go and freely give what you freely received. Just remember, you freely received it. So just make sure you freely give it. With no strings attached. You see, we are just simply to bless as we've been blessed. I was thinking about this the other day, about Abraham. You know, when Abraham went and rescued Lot and the kings of Sodom and all these other characters that had been taken captive by these other kings, and you know, he never laid anything on them. He didn't say, now you've got to come and join me. He rescued them, and then he just let them carry on. In fact, he refused to take a reward from them. Because God said to him, I'm going to bless you, Abraham, and I'm going to make you a blessing. And through you, all of the families of the world will be blessed, including the families of Sodom.
Yes. Glory to Jesus, yes. Well,
that's what we're here to do, folks, is to bless people. And see, the Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads people to turn to Him.
Yeah.
That causes people to turn to Him. Not you shouting, screaming, slinging, snorting, and spitting everything at them. Threatening them with every kind of hellfire and brimstone. That doesn't turn. It might turn a few people through fear, but God doesn't want to save people through fear. He wants to save them. He only saves them by faith.
Yeah.
We're saved by grace through faith. Through faith. There's no fear in love. Fear has torment. I lived in church for years in torment. Even after I'd come and said, made Jesus my Savior and my Lord, I still lived in torment. Sometimes it still tries to raise its ugly head. That one never was never the way it was supposed to be. We are here just to love unconditionally as we have been loved unconditionally. Does that mean we wipe out hundreds of years of church history and everything that's happened? No, thank God we're here on the shoulders of these people who went before us, but thank God we're on their shoulders. We're looking for the next generation to get on our shoulders and see beyond where we can see and go beyond where we have gone and believe beyond where we have believed. Because that's always the heart of the Father for the next generation. I tell you, people left these shores and went to all over the world and went to high power jobs and high places of authority and power and different parts of the world. But then they would come back home and visit the old boy down there with the gnarled hands and the weather-beaten face fixing that hole in the fence of the croft that made it all possible. He spoke to him. He couldn't speak four words in English. But his son went. Katrina's looked after an old guy. He was her great uncle, I think it was, and he had a birthday card on his sideboard up, and a wee button man from Ronald and Nancy Reagan. Why? Because his son had gone and worked and been high, one of the top flyers in the Pentagon. Amen. Hallelujah. God desires for every generation to move forward, to keep moving forward. That's his heart. Let's stand up together. Hallelujah. God's heart is only to bless. How you see will determine how you hear. Do you see yourself this morning as complete? Do you see yourself this morning as blessed? Do you see yourself this morning as a child of God? Do you see yourself as someone this morning who God is speaking into your life and saying, I only have thoughts to bless you, to prosper you, to give you a future? I know it hurts every religious bone in your body. I know it strikes discord in every part of you that's been programmed with religion. But this is the truth, folks. This is the truth. Are you ready for the truth? Are you ready to walk in the truth? Are you ready to fill up with the truth and overflow the truth? We are here to have dominion. Let's rise up out of domination into our place of dominion, so that we can be that blessing in the earth that God intended us to be. So that we can close the gap between heaven and earth. Our Father in heaven, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what closes the gap. When we come up and take our place of dominion, the gap between heaven and earth is closed. Do you understand that? Because we begin to operate out of who we really are, the sons and the daughters of God. See, Jesus was completely complete. And that's why there was no competition in him. He didn't come to compete with the Pharisees. And that's why he could say to us, greater works than these you shall do, because he's not in the competition. Do you have a vision to see the people of the world walking in the dominion that God has for every single last one of them? Or is your vision world domination? Because some churches, that's what their vision is. World domination. Let's take over the world with our brand. Amen. Or do you want to see people released? And then, well, God has a... You know, there's more than enough of everything in the world for every single person to live as a millionaire. Hallelujah. Wouldn't that be something? Why don't you believe for that? Why don't you expect for that? Why do you expect for the greedy men that have held things? In Scotland, there was a theatre company called the 784 Company, because 7% of the people owned 84% of the wealth. Wouldn't it be something if all of these met with Jesus one day when they were up a tree and came back down and said, half of my goods I give to the poor, and everything I've cheated from people I'm going to restore to them sevenfold. Come on, wouldn't that be something? Can you believe for that? Can you? Because that's what happens when someone comes back into the place of dominion, rejects domination and comes back into the place of dominion. That's what happens. That happens by the supernatural power of God. Jesus said, this guy's a son of Abraham. He's got a hold of it now. He's blessed to be a blessing. He's been restored to his dominion instead of living in domination. You see, those who dominate and those who allow themselves to be dominated are equally guilty, you know. That's why it says in Galatians, stand fast in the liberty. It's for freedom that Christ has made you free. Then it's your responsibility to stand in that freedom. I will not leave my place of dominion and come back down into a place of domination, even if I'm the one who gets to dominate. That's the temptation, you see. That's why people come down. That's why they have elections and everything else, because if everybody in America can be the President of the United States, then maybe I can be one day. That's okay if that man is elected as someone who's there to serve, but if that man is elected as someone who serves himself, isn't that the cynicism attached to most politicians from most people? That even if they start out right, they end up bad. Why? Because they enter a system that operates according to domination. But it's time for the people of God to come up. It's time for a man of God to occupy these places. Hallelujah. Not to operate from there from the position of domination, but from dominion. And begin to release blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you believe for some of these things? Can you begin to expect for some of these things? Can you begin to overflow from your life some of these things? Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your children, your precious children here this morning. I thank you, God, for the plans that you have for each and every one of us. Lord, they're always for good, never for evil, always to prosper us, to give us a future, to fill us with hope and expectation, to see your kingdom come, to see your will be done on earth, even as you've purposed it and provided for it in heaven. glorify your name, we pray, Father, in all the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen.